Spoilers podcast. My name is Marissa Pierce, and I'm going to be your host today. This week, we have some of our 2022 USTA Grand Champions for an Athletes Tell All episode. As we are gearing up for the 2023 Nationals in Florida, our champions are going to share with us some of their tips and tricks on how they became the Grand Champions. Today, we have the current reigning Grand Solo and Two-Baton Champion, Lainey Pahala, current Men's Solo Champion, Bauer Sarah, and current Three-Baton and National Collegiate Champion, Julia Arciola. We are so excited to have you guys here today.
Hey guys, it's Lainey. I'm really excited to be here. I think this is going to be a really cool opportunity just to kind of chit chat about what being a grand champ has been like and kind of our lives leading up to these moments. And I don't know, I'm just really excited to have this opportunity and chat with you guys today.
Hi guys, it's Julia Arciola and I'm so happy to be on the podcast today.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on the podcast again.
So let's start with our big topic of the week. So obviously it's Nationals. You guys are going to be passing on your titles or hopefully maybe winning them again. So I guess we'll start with like who's competing.
Yes, I'm excited to be back on the national stage. I'll be doing two-baton and artistic pair with Kylie tomorrow and then two-baton on Thursday.
Julia, what about you?
Competing in the Advanced Senior Athlete of the Year and solo, two-baton, and three-baton.
Yeah, that's so exciting. So you're going to be like defending your current national title, which is super cool. I know that I'm excited to watch you compete, and I know so many others are. And Lainey, obviously, I think you're retired now, right? Are you officially done from the competitive world and onto your professional side of twirling?
I most definitely am. It's definitely been a weird transition going from like competing at every single competition I've ever been to this entire season. I've really just been like a coach and a spectator at competitions. It's definitely been an odd transition, but so far, I'm just really excited to be on the other side of things and be able to lend a hand in twirling from the coaching side rather than the performance and competing side. And so far, I've really liked it. So I'm excited for like what's to come in the upcoming years.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward. I'll be done after Worlds. So I'm looking forward to the other side of things. I think my body can't physically do this anymore or else it'll fall apart. So I understand. So now that you are all grand champions, if you could reflect on, say, maybe 10 years ago, and I don't even know how old I would have been. I would have been like 10. Did you ever think that you would be a grand champion title holder? Did it ever cross your mind that this is a possibility for you?
Yeah. Let me think. How I was like 14, 10 years ago. I think, I'm so old. I remember looking up to all of the grand champions back when I was younger and maybe not even necessarily making it a goal right then and there, but just thinking how amazing and how incredibly inspiring it is just to watch them compete. And so I always was pushing. I wanted to someday be as good as them. I just didn't know when or if that was even going to happen because I was just so awestruck. But each day in the gym, I feel like you get better and better. And every time you leave, if you're making yourself better that day, then you're getting closer to that dream, even though you don't. It's like a slow process kind of thing, you know? Then one day you look back and you're like, wow, 5 years ago, I was like really bad looking at where I am now. And so then once you get to the 5 more years, you're like, wow, look at where I am. Like, I'm the person that the kids are looking up to now. And that's kind of incredible.
I think looking back on it when I was like 10, 11, 12, that's roughly 10 years ago. I'm getting kind of old now. So, but back when I was like 10, 11 and 12, I looked up to so many people who were older than me at the time. And they were huge role models. And of course it was like a dream to become a grand champion one day. And it's obviously what we work towards throughout our entire life in twirling. The ultimate goal is to become a national champion or a world champion of some sorts. And we're all striving for that. So thinking back, I definitely feel like I was hoping that one day I would attain that goal and achieve that. But by no means did I think in those moments that, oh yeah, I would be 100%, I'd be a grand national champion. Like, that never crossed my mind. I knew it was a goal that I would continue to work towards and push towards, but I never necessarily thought that it would be attainable when I was 12 years old. But it's crazy to think that 10 years ago, I was looking at this like it was so unattainable and I would never achieve that. And I was just working so hard towards it. And now living in that moment, achieving those goals, it's really been surreal and an incredible experience to be a role model of the sport as a national champion. It's been really cool to give back in that aspect and be a role model for today's youth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something, you're right. We don't really, you think about it, but you never want to say it because you don't want to jinx yourself in the future. Well, Julia, what about you? If you reflect back on where you started, especially since you started, probably if you were 12, I don't know if that's 10 years. I have no idea really how old you are. So now that you're where you're at, did you ever think when you were starting in USTA that this was even a possibility?
Yes, actually, a decade ago was exactly the year that I started in USTA. And it was also my first international cup in the Netherlands. And I was competing in junior elite three baton at the international cup as the youngest member. I was only 12 at the time, which was the age limit, I think, back then. I don't know what it is now. But I got dead last. Like, there was a huge buffer between last place, which was me, and whoever was right after me, or sorry, before me. And I remember feeling like so hopeless at the time, especially in three baton. And I truly, at the time, and honestly, not until recently, I thought that being a grand national champion was a dream, not necessarily a goal. And once I was able to flip that mindset and make it a goal was when things really started to change. But back then, I thought that it was possible that it was never going to happen. And so now it's crazy to think back when I got last place to now being a grand champion. I mean, it's surreal. So
yeah, absolutely. That's kind of cool that it all the stars aligned and that you went from competing at an international level like that to then coming back 10 years later and winning such a it's a big title. And I think that's super cool on your twirling career. And I think that's such an awesome thing. So obviously we've kind of talked about a little bit of our past and, you know, you guys kind of touched on that. So now I guess let's get into the tell-all part, or as I call it, the dance mom segment, where we find out all the good drama, which there's really no drama, hopefully, when you're doing this stuff. So I would say some of the fun stuff would be do you guys do anything special before you compete, like a handshake, or does someone put you on the floor? Or I know I jump around before I go out on the floor like a bird. So I know there's a little bit of that when I'm doing. So are you guys doing that? Julia, do you do anything fun before you go out?
Honestly, not really. It's kind of boring. But so for three baton, I specifically don't hold my batons for the person before me. Because my arms get so tired. So I try to make sure that they're ready for the full effect. I go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Lainey, what about you? I know that we shared some nice team memories and you were very particular about some of the things you did when you're going on the floor.
Yes, I'm just about as superstitious as it gets personally. But, a good superstition always helps. But no, for myself in team, I had handshakes with pretty much everyone, but those handshakes had to happen in a very specific order. So if they didn't go in the right order, the whole thing had to start over. And that was a huge superstition for teams. And then individually, I am ritualistic before I take the floor. It's a little excessive, according to my mom. But I have a very specific pattern that I would wipe my hands with my towel. Very specific. And the opposite of most twirlers, the entire set before me, I have to sit down on the ground. I sit on my rear end and do absolutely nothing the entire set before. And then when that set is about three quarters of the way through, I then start my hand wiping process, and then I wipe each of my batons. And then by that point, I'm ready to stand up and kind of walk on the floor. I don't know, whatever it is about that ritual, it's always been really helpful. I don't know. I always walk on the floor very calm. So maybe something about like focusing on the ritual that I go through is like relaxing in a way. I don't really know, but I'm very, very superstitious about all of that stuff. So I definitely have my quirks when it comes to pre-competition rituals and habits of that sort.
Yeah, that's totally okay. I definitely know I'm superstitious. And even like the putting the batons on the floor thing that Julia said, or like sitting down, like I have to hype myself up. I'm like, oh, we're going to go twirl now. No more screwing around behind the curtain for me. Like I have the same thing. I'm sure like every twirler has their like quirks and whatnot. And I know that like I jump around like a bird. So, you know, it's to each their own. So obviously you guys, as you're walking out on the floor, I know that I have thoughts before I go out on the floor. Like I'm thinking things up there. Like, please don't go out there and make your mom mad because she yelled at you this week for 3 baton, because that's me. So if you guys see my 3 baton, you'll know this week that I'm thinking about my mother and how she's going to yell at me. So, how do you guys have any like thoughts that go through your head? Are you like, okay, you can do this. Like, I'm going to go out there. I'm just going to follow exactly what I did in my training plan. Like, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to nail it in the head. Do you guys have anything you think before you go out there? Any thoughts going on? Or are you just like, all right, here we go. Time to go twirl.
It's more of like tunnel vision for me, I think. In my head, I have to coach myself through the routine. I have to say, all right, slow down, because my tendency is to move on before I catch my baton. So I have to remind myself throughout the routine, like, hey, slow down, like settle into your routine. And sometimes I can feel like my mental block stepping between me and my baton. So I have to remember to take that. I like mentally, but it feels physical, like take that away from me. And I just have to settle into my baton and my training. So when I'm pretty sure I was probably going through the similar mindset for this routine. And I was just like, okay, settle in, take a deep breath, go slow. You got this. And then like remind myself of that throughout the routine. So I imagine that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Lainey, what about you?
I would have to say that I'm pretty similar to Julia in the sense that it's a lot of like positive self-talk, like reminding myself that, like Julia said, I've done this a million times and I can do it again. It's just in a different setting. But there's two sayings that I have kind of lived by through twirling. The first one being trust your training. I know that for myself personally, walking on the floor earlier in the season is a lot more nerve-wracking than walking on the floor at nationals. And that would probably be the exact opposite for most people. But along with the saying of trust your training, in January, I've had a lot less time of mastering my routines under my belt. So I'm typically a little bit more shaky walking on the floor because I'm not as confident in my delivery. But when we get to nationals, by that point, I've done my routine so many times. I just got to trust all the training that I put into it. And that really like kind of gives me that calm effect too when I walk on the floor, because I can trust myself and know confidently that I'm capable of doing everything in the routine. And then the other saying that I like to go by, this is something my mom has said to me for a really long time. And it's let go, let God. I've always been a firm believer that like everything happens for a reason, and if it's meant to be, it'll be. So if you put your work in and then just relax and let it happen the way it's supposed to happen, it'll fall the way it's meant to be. So in that sense, I've always said, just let go and let God. I've done my work, and by the time I'm walking on the floor, I just got to let go of all my worries and let God take control of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think the trusting your training and knowing that if you do 5 no drop solos every day of your life, you know, you can do a no drop solo, or, you know, 5 no drop 3 batons or no drop collegiates. I think having that mental mindset for each routine, definitely helps you. And Julia, I feel you for collegiate. I think Lainey might've been the same way. Like collegiate's just like a whole different ballpark. Like you just go out there and you're just, yeah, you're just like having fun. Like, you're just like, here I am. I'm going to show you how much I love my school. And that's what it's going to be. And if you like my school spirit, hopefully you'll join in. So I totally relate to that. 2 different things. 3 baton for me, definitely not thinking that way. But hey, maybe on Friday I will, or on Thursday I will be. Probably not, though. Again, when you see my 3 foot down, think about my mother. She'll be mad at me. Okay, so obviously you guys, after you were done with your winning your teen, after you got those scores, there's so much emotion. And obviously when you hear your scores, you're like, you can hear, you got it in your head. You're like, oh my God, I think I might've won this. Or, oh my God, I think like my dream could be coming true. Obviously when you come off the podium, like for me, my first person I'd go talk to would be like my mother or my coach. Was there someone that immediately when you got off the podium that you hugged or that you went and you spoke to, right as soon as you got your winning scores?
Oh, this is really diving into my memory. But I think it was John and PJ that were right there. And we usually like high five, examine the routine, go over everything. And then after we come off the podium, then it's like hugs and pictures. And then I went up to the stands to see my mom and she usually cries.
Yeah, so for three baton, last year it was actually at finals was the first time that I ever scored nines in three baton. So I was already like over the moon bawling at the first score. Like I didn't even care about the results at that point. I was so proud of myself and what I did. And so obviously by the time I get off of the podium, I am in full-fledged, like just tears streaming everywhere. And actually the first person that I hugged, because she was right there, she was watching from behind the curtain by the podium, was Arian Hay, which she's a teammate, and she had gone on right before me. And she was so excited for me. Like I was just in tears. And so actually she was the first person that I hugged. But the next person was my mother, who ran, I think she sprinted all the way down the stairs onto the practice gym floor. And there's actually a super cute video on my Instagram of when she just came over to hug me. And if anybody listening knows my mother, which you may or may not, because she's kind of quiet, she is not a crier. And when I saw her crying because of my performance, I'm like tearing up just thinking about it. But I knew that I had really done everything that I could, and that kind of like Lainey was saying, you know, let go, let God. I really felt in that moment that it was not up to me anymore, that it was just,
yeah,
I don't know, absolutely a crazy feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Lainey, when you heard your scores, was there a person you hugged as soon as you came off the floor?
I'm trying to remember. I definitely feel like I ran into friends first, like my friends who were also competing in finals, who were behind the curtain warming up for their events. They were some of the first people that I definitely ran into. So if I had to guess, I would assume it's definitely some of my friends were the first hugs I received, but the most memorable ones would definitely be from my mom. I know typically like my coach would be back there, but Dale, around that time of nationals, he's typically doing something with USTA. Like he's not back there with me because he's called to duty or whatever. I don't know exactly what he does during that time, but I know he's busy. Like he has to be doing something else. So it's typically my mom. And the first, like the most memorable hug is always from my mom, especially in moments like that, because you work so hard and you hope and you dream. And when all of those things like fall into place and the stars align and your dreams come true, it's always a really emotional experience, and to be able to share that moment with your mom is incredible. And I'll never be able to forget those hugs, like the way those hugs feel, because it's not just like a oh I love you kind of hug, it's a oh my gosh, this is really happening, your dreams are coming true type of hug. And they just kind of stick with you forever. So
yeah, absolutely. I definitely know that. I think my mom would be the first person I hugged too, just like both of you guys. So I understand it. So now coming off of your competitive, and, you know, obviously we've talked about how your routines went, what your fun little traditions are. Now we're kind of wrapping up the sentimental side of twirling, and we're getting into the twirlers that are listening or the people listening that have dreams like you guys once did. What piece of advice would you give to twirlers today, whether that be a competition twirler, a majorette out on the field, someone looking to twirl for a university, anything like that? Is there a piece of advice that you could give?
I think I don't know if this is advice, but it's sort of how I have led my twirling career, and it's sort of what worked for me, is that I believe that our sport is 40% physical and 60% mental. Obviously, you need to have the physical part of it. You need to put in the work. But that other 60%, which comes in at the most vital time, you know, when you're competing, I think is the most important. Like we said before, you got to trust your training. And if you don't, it's likely not going to work. So with that, my advice would be find what works for you. If the mental challenge is your biggest fault, then that's the part that you need to work on the most. And you got to be able to have that equilibrium.
Yeah, absolutely. Lainey, what about you? If you could give a piece of advice to any twirler.
I would say my two biggest pieces of advice would be to truly just love what you're doing. The most important thing about any sport to me is to truly love what you're doing. That's how you get joy, and that's how you make the friendships, and that's where the memories come from. If you love what you're doing, if you're miserable, it's not fun anymore. So you want it to be fun, and you don't want to be miserable throughout the whole thing. You want to love what you're doing. So most importantly, love what you're doing before anything else. And then my next piece of advice is definitely going to be geared a little bit more towards competitive twirlers. I know we are very much so involved in a sport that's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, you get placed. And we're constantly chasing, quote unquote, that top dog, like the person who's consistently in that top three range. Those are the people we're always chasing. But I think the biggest thing to remember is that you are your biggest competitor. And that can definitely tie into what Julia was saying. It's very much so a mental game as well, rather than just physical. And understanding that you are going to be the best thing for you also while being the worst thing for you, because if you're in your head mentally, it's going to mess up your whole game. So you are truly going to be your biggest competitor, and you need to make sure that you're prepared for that, both mentally, physically, all of the above. So that kind of ties into what Julia said, but those are my two biggest pieces of advice for everyone.
Yeah. I'm going to like kind of harp back to the previous question of like, where did you, in 10 years ago, did you see yourself here? I think just set those mega ambitious goals. Like, tell yourself you are going to be that grand champion one day, and then set yourself up for each practice and make yourself one step closer to that goal. Set little ones so that you can achieve them, so you're making progress for yourself, but then still have that lifelong dream in your head. That way you're still checking back in with yourself. Because I think sometimes you can get lost in what your actual goals are and just kind of coasting along. So just make sure you're setting those goals and trying to achieve those little ones to one day reach that 10-year kind of life, if that makes sense.
That's definitely something that you can reflect on as a twirler, whether that be any stage of where you're at. Like that.
But, yeah. I mean, because even, like, I feel like it was 2018, so like that World Championships, and wait. What are we trying to get here? I was like, we need goals. We need to set these right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I understand that. So sometimes you need those goals in life. Like you have to have them. So I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So as we're wrapping up the podcast, we appreciate, Only Twirlers appreciates you guys coming on here. I know that Shaylee's going to be super excited to listen. And obviously we have a final question that we ask all of our people that we interview, and it is, what is your favorite piece of Only Twirlers merchandise that is currently on sale or has been on sale in the past? I know I like the blue curtain one, or I like the boom no drop one. So what's your favorite piece of Only Twirlers merch?
So it used to be the boom no drop tank, but I think now it's going to be the Only Twirlers, I think it was pink crew neck, just because I'm obsessed with crew necks and it's just like a classic design. So that's my favorite.
Well, now that the Barbie movie is coming out, I really dig the Barbie shirt. I think it's super cute.
Well, I'm 22, so many would say that I'm in my T-Swift era. So I would personally say that my favorite is I'm in my twirling era shirt. I got to see T-Swift in concert, so it just comes together all well, and That would definitely be the shirt that I would buy today if I were purchasing one. So that's definitely my fave.
Yeah, absolutely. I always put an Easter egg in the episodes, by the way. So if anyone is watching, y'all are going to send me a DM, or listening, you're going to send me a DM talking about the Barbie movie and the Taylor Swift era. But thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for coming on. I know that I really appreciate it, and I know that Shaylee really appreciates it, and so does the Only Twirler podcast group and all of our fans out there. So thank you guys again. This is Marissa Pierce from Talking With Twirlebrities, and we'll catch you all very soon.